think about cheese? Make your thoughts cheesier. Now add 100% chicken breast fillet, chipotle sauce and a mega cheese melt. And it's giving the new cheesy chicken stack at McDonald's. Did we mention it's cheesy?
Cheese.
Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11 a.m. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
Today you'll learn about a playful, actual, doable way to handle intrusive thoughts and nonstop phone urges, and use and leave it protocol so you can do this in real time. Now stay tuned for five things that you could do to practice this week at the end of our show. Now, if this helps you, follow The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi on Apple, Spotify, and subscribe to our YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor. It helps more people get more real tools. Now, my guest today is a very special guest, and she has her own podcast on our show. She is totally amazing. You have to check out her podcast and go to it. She has amazing episodes to help you with your mindset and to help you improve your overall life. And she is also the author of this book, and How to Be a Good Dog. And she is just an amazing woman. Now, Phyllis, welcome to the show. I just want to jump right in because, you know, people know who you are already. And I just want to learn, you know, more about today's episode. Now, in plain English, why do our brains grab into intrusive thoughts and won't let go?
That's a great place to start, Stacey, because I always think we got to start at the big level. Like, why are we doing this at all? But this intrusive thought thing seems to be what bugs people the most. Like, how do I get rid of that thought? And from what I understand of neuroscience, you know, everybody's like into neuroscience and quantum physics or whatever, but really our brains are built to amplify negativity because, you know, when we first roamed the earth, there was threat everywhere, you know? So anything that was seen as a threat, we had to be aware of. So our amygdala gets hyperactivated very easily still, even though we're not being chased by tigers or anything. There's no threat. Like, you're safe, I'm safe right now, you know? So our biggest threats actually come from our thoughts. So that's why it's so important to train your mind, right? Because as you know, thoughts become emotions. They do. They get into our body, they activate certain systems, then all of a sudden we're angry and we didn't even know how it happened. It happens in a microsecond. So backing up a bit, like reverse engineering, how do our brains work? We know for sure that if we can regulate our thoughts, if we can train the mind, regulate our thoughts, we will be regulating our emotions. And if you can regulate your emotions, you're going to be a peaceful, happy human. Like wild, untrained dogs are basically unhappy. They don't want to be anxious and unhappy and aggressive, but we get that way as well as puppies. But once you train a dog, you're not trying to control or dominate the dog or your mind. You're just trying to train your mind to serve you, to serve us, we're not serving the mind. That is supposed to help us, not cause us, but that's where our suffering is, between the ears all the time. So it's really hard because we're not really aware of all the thinking we do. You know what I mean? We just don't know. We have this constant voice, la, 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 running through your head. And I think the first thing I would say, we're trying to become aware of that. That's why sitting still in silence is the beginning of it. It's, you're becoming aware of the craziness in your head. You know, puppies always put their insanity on display, right? With the stuff they do. I love this website called dogshaming.com. It's just hilarious. It's all these videos and photos of bad things that dogs have done, you know? So you know when a dog is acting up, but we're not aware when our minds are acting up. Right. And you know, I would say we have to understand that our thoughts are basically fake news. They are just thoughts. We don't need to believe them, but, you know, we do. And that's kind of why I don't like guided meditation, at least right away for people, because it's just somebody else putting thoughts in your head. You're hearing other people. And some people never do any other kind of meditation but guided. And, you know, good on them. That's good. But it's not really going to get to the crux of the matter of what's going on, you know, in your head. So we're just trying first to become really aware of that impulse to amplify negativity. But if you don't take a beat and understand your mind, you'll never even know what's going on up there. And it will be dragging you around instead of you being in control of it. So,
That is so true. And
yeah.
with this, the same phone, why do we reach for it even when we don't need it?
Oh my gosh, it's so addictive. Oh, I have, I'm sure you've read about this as well. These were designed to addict us so we buy stuff.
Yes.
That's it. That's all iPhones. I mean, great, you can call your parents or whatever, but really, the whole social media, the having the apps are designed, the notifications, to stimulate that part of the brain that pays attention as if something is happening and we're missing out on it,
Right.
Lisa was and I were talking about this, like the notification goes off, a text, and oh, you got to pick it up. And we're just being trained. We're being
Yeah.
trained kind of like animals, really, because the Silicon Valley neuroscientist who created these things
Yeah.
deliberately used the kind of science that will. So you're an addict. We're addicts. We're just
Right.
addicted. So we have to understand that, and then you can work with that, okay? Because you basically have two minds. You got the squirrely, crazy puppy that's listening for texts and notifications, emails, whatever. And then
Yeah.
people don't know this, but we all have an alpha dog, all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So the canine science around alpha dogs is much different than we thought. We used to think like the alpha dog like dominated and it was aggressive, but that's not the case at all. It's just
Right.
kind of the presence of safety, authenticity, trust. It's the strong silent type. That's what I like to tell how I explain what an alpha dog is. And it makes the pack, the presence of the alpha, it just lessens fear and it
Yeah.
creates a sense of safety. And you actually can rely, you have an alpha mind, but we just
Right.
never let it, we never listen to it because there's no
Yeah.
space amidst all the yapping. So the purpose of meditation is to allow the silence so that the puppy noise calms down, and you can just like, ooh, you got this wisdom, the alpha, where you are safe, you can trust it. Imagine if your mind was actually reliable and trustworthy. And so
Yeah.
you train yourself to know that when that ping goes off, like, woof, I don't need to do that right now. And that's
Yeah.
the whole point of leave it. Like, it's to try and figure out which thoughts are harmful and habitual and toxic. And what to do about it. So
Right.
you got to start with finding your alpha inside your head.
Yes, that's so true. Now, for someone listening who says, I've tried to stop and I can't, what do you want them to know first?
Well, we talk about when you train a puppy, it's got to be short, sweet, very small doses with love. So
Yeah.
don't give up. That's the
Yeah.
important thing. It's not going to happen overnight. Remember, we've been raised to do this, and kids are now being born right with phones in their hands, and they are also being cultured into the attention economy, the consumer economy. So it's going to be even more difficult as our kids grow up for them to find space. It's just a habit. That's all it is. It sounds so tough, like I've tried it, I can't do it.
Yeah.
But you can do it and just take it easy. And it's, you got to establish the habit and you got to love yourself through it. We don't
Right.
scream once in a while, we scream at puppies, right? But we don't hate them. But
Yeah.
people have a lot of hatred for their own minds, for their own thoughts. That's sad, right? I've had
Is.
people say to me, I hate my mind. It's a tyrant. So that's what we're trying to do, is
Yeah.
take the power away from the tyrant so that the
Yeah.
alpha, the wisdom dog, can hang out and guide us.
I love that. Now, you've created a playful leave it approach. Where did that come from?
It came from desperation for me. I mean, really, because I didn't know what to do with those thoughts because I didn't hear them. But once I heard them, I was shocked. And some of them become what I would call sticky. Like there's a lot of thoughts that go through your head all day. You're complaining, catastrophizing, you got resentments. I wish I had told him to, blah, blah, blah. All those. Okay. They're not great. But the real toxic stuff, like the puppy approaching a 10-pound bag of chocolate, it's going to kill him, it's going to hurt him. Those sticky thoughts tend to be those deep emotions like jealousy. I think I am not a jealous person, but I have been married to a jealous person. So
Right.
if you have ever been in the presence of jealousy, that's a thought that these folks can't let go of. It's really destructive. So there's the common toxicity of all the negative stuff we think and how we
Yeah.
judge people and ourselves in our heads. And then there's the big ones, the bad ones, the box of chocolate that's going to really make your dog sick. So
Yeah.
I just decided I had to tame my mind like I would a puppy, or use methods that I had used kind of with my kids when they were doing something like little kids, toddler kids.
Yeah.
Distraction. Distraction is a great way to stop that behavior. So yeah, that's leave it basically came from my own frustration at being unable to stop those sticky thoughts. So in conjunction with meditation, once you get up and walk around, like you're carrying with you, hopefully, the alpha that you allow to come out, and you're
Yeah.
being more aware of your thoughts during your day. And then for me, what works really well is just a big old, I no, Phyllis, no. I literally say it out loud to myself. And it's almost like, you know how when you have the hiccups and somebody like scares you? It's
Yeah.
so shocking. It absolutely takes the power away from the thought, and it puts you in control, just like you
Right.
would with a puppy. We say, leave it. No, that's all. And often, and I say stuff to myself like, I will not allow this negativity in my life.
Yeah.
I am just very firm with myself, still decent and kind, but it's for the sake of my mental health and my emotional health and for everybody around me that I'm
Yeah.
doing this. You know what I mean?
I know.
I don't want to have uncontrolled negative thoughts that come out.
Yeah.
I want to have a filter, you know? So that's where it started.
I love that, because it's very hard for a lot of people. Now, walk us through your leave it protocol. Like, what are the actual steps? Because you have like notice, name it, breathe, choose something kinder, return. Explain all those things to us.
Oh, you just did a great job there, Stacy. That was an awesome kind of. If I were to, so you can, I think all folks can understand the concept of leave it, and you kind of create your own protocol. But a good practice for leave it is on the when you are meditating, don't ever try to stop your thoughts. People think, oh, I can't stop my thoughts. Of course you can't. That's what the brain does, you know, like a dog chases its tail. We don't like it, but that's what they do. The mind just does this thing. So
Yeah.
you have to first start. I would advise folks as you're walking through your day, Eckhart Tolle says this, it's so great. Think only when necessary. We think all day for no reason. Our minds are
Right.
constantly, like sometimes you have to think, right? You know, when the baby has a cough or you have a, you know, you want to write down your to-do list, but try not to think so much in general. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you can, it's really remarkable when you realize how much you're thinking and why. Well, I don't know. It's us in a dialogue with that crazy puppy all day long.
Yeah.
So if we can dial back the thinking, we definitely overthink in this
Yeah.
culture. We think a lot. Again, I've talked about this before. Other cultures are not like this. Like in Europe, in Italy, you know, it's just like, hey, you just hang out. Like people aren't constantly overthinking. So I would
Yeah.
say, you know, you want to get into certain habits when you're off the pillow, walking around in the world. You want to become aware of how much you're thinking.
Yeah.
And when a sticky thought happens, I have a list kind of at the end for other things we can do. But just be aware of how much you're thinking. Tell yourself, no, no,
Yeah.
leave it. And then we're going to look at ways, other ways to kind of distract the mind, you know, as we try to get into this protocol of taking an unconscious thing and making it conscious. That's all we're doing, really. Because,
Right.
you know, we're walking around with this no noise in our head, the tyrant, and we were
Yeah.
making space for the alpha. You can even say, hey, I need my alpha dog. Everybody has
Right.
this inner wisdom. We all have it. Stacey, you know this, right? We just,
Yeah.
it's never quiet enough for us. We don't do silence. We pick up the phone, we
Yeah.
scroll. We get activated all day long. That's so bad for our bodies, what
It
we're
is.
eating. Yeah, it's a pound of chocolate to a puppy. So
Yeah.
we
Wow.
have to stop it. We have to stop it. So, it reminds me, if you'll indulge a little quick story here, kind of off the puppy analogy. When I was a
Yeah.
cowgirl for a while in my 50s, believe it or not, I quit my job and left Jersey and went to Colorado and worked on ranches and stuff. And I was terrible at it. I was just a girl from Jersey trying to, but the cowboys were great. It was fascinating to watch how they trained horses. Now, an
Yeah.
1,100 pound animal, they are wired for fear because they are prey. They're not predators. They're used to, again, they carry around that negative thing of being at risk all the time. So they're scared, especially if you come up to them from behind and stuff. So they have to be trained out of fear, just like we do. And I was watching this cowboy who I really didn't have much respect for. And he was kind of a city slicker, not a real cowboy, but he was trying to train this horse to get into a trailer. And if you've worked with horses, they're afraid of the craziest things. You don't even know why they're so scared of certain things. But this horse would not budge. And if you're 1,100 pounds and you don't want to move like a sticky thought, you're just not going to move, right? Problem. So he's yelling, he's got a crop, he's like cracking the whip, trying to scare it into obedience. And that never works. It doesn't work in the long run with kids, it doesn't work with animals. They'll comply out of fear, but it's not sustainable. So this guy's getting nowhere. I think his name was Robbie or something. The horse is just like standing there, and a real cowboy, Ryan, comes up and he said, "What are you doing?" And the guy was like, "I'm trying to get this, get in the trailer." And he's like, "Get away. You're hurting him." So he moves Robbie out of the picture, and Ryan takes the lead rope and just gently walks the horse around in three circles. One, two, three. And then the horse stopped. And after he did that a couple times, on the third walk around, once he had trust in the cowboy and he wasn't being harmed and his mind was being distracted with the physical movement, he walked right into the trailer. Like you, yes. So those thoughts, they look like 1,100 pound, animals that aren't going to move. But if you use your body as a to distract your mind, it's actually wonderful. So like I would say, so here's a little list as we wrap up, right? If you're on the pillow, just breathe through it. Sometimes the image for me that really helped was like a leaf on a river. Or if there were toxic people in my life, I would actually like put them on a little raft and send them down the river. Bye-bye, right? Get them out. Bye-bye. I can't stop them, but it takes away their power if you just let them float down the river. If you are up and about during your day, turn on some music, do a little dance, sing, stretch, think of something really funny. Turn on a real quick thing that makes you laugh. We all should have like a laugh bank, of things that make us happy. Or always going outside. If you can, you've got this thought in your head that you can't get rid of. You know it's bad for you. You try using your body to shake it out, like the cowboy with the horse. Or you just step outside. Like if you're anywhere near nature, look at a tree, put your feet in the grass. You always want to. You're basically just trying to distract your mind from that thought you can't get rid of that is bad for you, and you don't want to ingest it because it's going to make you sick. So use your body, you got to breathe, and always go back to your five senses, sight, hearing, look at something, listen to a song that will break the chain, put something really fun on, maybe take a sip of coffee. Try to smell something, get like lavender, or use all five senses. And it will actually distract you in a very positive and good way. So it's possible. It just takes time, but don't give up. It's so worth it. Once you have peace of mind, there's nothing like it in the whole world.
I love that.
Yeah.
How does your urge surfing fit into this riding the urge instead of obeying it?
How does the what? I didn't hear the first part of the question. How
How
does what?
does the urge surfing fit into this riding the urge instead of obeying it?
Oh, that's such a good question. I really love that. That's really interesting. So, when you, and again, we're not trying to dominate or control our thoughts because you can't. So
You
you just
can't.
gotta, like Bruce Lee used to say, be like water. really just go with that flow. And I've told this story before, but there's this, and it's so powerful, this Buddhist story of a guy who's like, his guru said, go sit on a mountaintop. You're out of control. The man is alone on a mountain for years, but his demons always follow him because they're here, right? My best
Yes.
friend's mother used to say, you take your head with you everywhere. So yeah, you can move. You could go, live in New York instead of LA, but you're taking your head with you, right? So,
Yeah.
the demons came anyway to where he was out in the middle of nowhere, and he tried screaming at them and throwing things and setting fires and throwing water, and he exhausted himself trying to get rid of them
Yeah.
until one time they showed up. He was like, "Come on in, let's have a cup of coffee." You can befriend these thoughts. You actually
Yes.
can befriend them. Because it's just an unhealed part of you. It's kind of like you need to love yourself through it. Whatever is making you jealous or so angry is
Yeah.
rooted in some kind of pain that you've endured, whether it's
Yes.
trauma or just adversity or whatever it is. So
Yes.
just invite it in. Oh, it's like, oh, you again? Like when I see my anger, which was always has always been my nemesis, like this
Yeah.
trigger, hair trigger anger. I'm like, oh, hey, old friend, you're still trying? Like, that's kind of cute, but sit down. Like, I'm not buying what you're selling. And you can actually kind of disempower the whole thing. Eventually, it just turns to dust and it's
Yeah.
not there anymore. But it takes time and love, self-love.
Definitely does. I agree. I love that. Now, what breathing cue do you like for drop it moments? Like something like, anyone can do at any place.
Well, I think the just the very standard easy breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. So we
Yeah.
used I was an EMT, and when people were in a lot of pain, that's what
Yeah.
like it's automatic. It just activates calm. It's free, it's there. And that's another thing we don't even realize. We're not really breathing well all day long.
Yes.
We're mouth breathing all day, or we're not breathing right because we're so anxious all the time. So it's not fancy, but yes, when you hear what's happening, to take that deep breath, address it right away, do a little distraction. All of those things, they actually work more so. You're training yourself during meditation, but you're doing the thing when you're out walking around in your day. So.
That's like one of my favorite ones. Like it's like breathe in the good air, breathe out the toxins, and just like clean, positivity, negativity out,
Breathe it out. Yep. It's wonderful and easy. And breath work itself is so valuable. If you want to ever dive deeper into a free wellness tool, just the whole breath work world, there's a guy named Chuck McGee. He does amazing work, very simple and down to earth. And my sons use it. My boys are all in their 30s and early 40s, and they have found their way through anxiety to peace via breath work and a lot of other things too. So the breathing is seminal, and the mind training as well. Those two things.
Yes, that is, I think, so important. Now, you also talk about the kinder self-talk. Like, what's a good replacement line when the critic shows up?
Oh, the critic. I feel I learned to love my little, this is just little, 6-year-old Phyllis. I was like cross-eyed and I had these horrible bangs and I was just a dork, in the midst of all the craziness of, my family, so many families like that. You really have to remember how sweet you were. Like nobody's born a mess, really. We are not born angry or hateful. When I taught these kids in Seattle, that were in this program for a drug, they were in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. That's a hell of a storm in their heads. I brought in a picture of myself at the age of 5 and I flashed it up on the screen and they were like, what is that? And then I asked them to all bring in pictures of themselves when they were 5 or 6. And I pasted it all over the walls. And I would say to them, look at you. Look how cute you are. That's how you were born. You're okay. And we can do the same thing to ourselves. Remember who you were at 5 or 6. I guarantee you were adorable. And of course, you didn't know what was going on. So just like Here you are all grown up, and the critic is incessant. It might be a parent or a teacher. It's a parental voice often, right? Criticizing you. And mom, I'm grown now. Like, that's not going to work. And I'm going to take care of this little one so she doesn't have to respond to this anymore.
Love that. I love that. Now, how long does it take to retrain this, what's realistic?
Oh, that's a good question. I was it you that said it, or Lisa, somebody said 10 years, right? Like, so it takes a while. So, but like they say in Al-Anon and AA, progress, not perfection. Like, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, but you can begin to see these incremental little tiny spaces of relaxation within a couple of weeks, honestly. Tiny. You're not going to revolutionize your life. Everything now we want really fast. And when you see something like on your social media, like, peace of mind in 6 weeks, it doesn't happen. Wrong. Don't click on it. It's gonna, but you may feel a little bit of an unwinding within a week or so of like 2 minutes, 3 minutes in the morning, 3 minutes at night. And I mean, no phones during that time. So, it could that happens, and then that becomes your biscuit. We train dogs with food. Obviously, we don't want to train our minds using food, but the reward is peace. And what's the best for you? Who doesn't want that as a reward? And I remember like stopping. I had little kids and I was doing this meditation thing and I felt an unwinding and I was like, what is that? And it was relaxation. I'd been up tight and like just so tight for so long, I didn't know what relaxation was. And I was like, ooh, that feels good. I want more of that. So that will support your practice, And I've been sitting in meditation probably 15 years now, mostly, maybe 10. And I still have ones where I just sit there and it's like, ah, it's ridiculous. It's not, it's neither good nor bad. They just are what they are. But, doing it, doing it, doing it. It will definitely show up in your life pretty quickly in very small ways. And of course, you're aware now because you are trying to understand. You'll feel it and you'll be like, oh, that was nice. It was a nice calm moment.
I love it. I love it. Now, let's apply this to the phone. What's the trigger, like the urge, the reward loop that most people are stuck in?
It's like I said, it's addiction. It's pure addiction. And addiction, to drugs, alcohol, other substances are based in the brain. And the brain, I mean, it may start out as a bad habit, but it becomes a physical addiction. And everybody knows somebody who suffers from addiction, substance abuse, whatever. And you can see, if it's somebody in your family, you can see how it happened, right? It started out small. People don't become addicted to alcohol or drugs overnight. But it's quick once the brain, but the brain is being, there's a reward inside the brain that makes people feel good while it's actually trashing their bodies. So it's the same with the phone. There's some kind of a reward. Oh, I'm connected. Somebody needs me. There's news I'm going to miss. Like, you have to understand that this was designed to addict you. Social media is addictive on purpose. So you just have to, like, I don't know, there's a 12 step, follow the 12 steps. I tell you, if everybody had a 12 step, the 12 step program, whether you have a problem with alcohol or drugs or the phone, addiction is the same physiological process that involves your brain. So, you have to admit that you're powerless over your phone and your life has become unmanageable. Like, look up the 12 steps, follow them in regarding your phone addiction because that's what it is. But it's remarkable when you stop. Like right now, and we were talking about this, I literally do not do social media because, particularly during the political upheaval that we're in, there's way too much horrible stuff that I was ingesting. And I take it in through my eyes and my ears, not my mouth, but it's still addictive. You know what I mean? So I have to limit what I was watching and listening to because it was killing me. So once you become aware too, I mean, I think for people in addiction, they could speak for themselves, of course, but the hardest part is becoming aware of the fact that this thing has taken you prisoner, whatever it is. And we are absolutely imprisoned by our phones. So I know people who just don't carry their phones with them. I turn mine off all the time. It's
Yeah.
off all night long. Like, why would I want to answer the phone in the middle of the night? And people are like, what about your kids? Well, my kids are all grown. And if something bad happens, it'll still be there in the morning and I need my sleep.
Right.
You know, I don't want to be on edge all the time. So
Yeah.
kind of you just have to recognize it as an addiction and start your 12 steps.
I agree. What's one boundary we could put on our phone today that doesn't feel like a punishment?
You know, you could just reduce your notifications. Okay, go into your settings, look at all the notes. You probably have notifications for everything, right? Your email, your text, your social media. Just turn off notifications.
Right.
I know you're going to be afraid you're going to miss something, but you're really not. You know,
Right.
you can answer your phone. You'll get the phone ringing, right? That's a notification. The
Exactly.
phone will ring. You can talk to people on the phone, but you don't have to answer a text immediately. If something
Right.
is truly urgent, somebody will call you,
Yeah.
right? So you have to just reduce. I would say try. Even for a short period of time, an hour, lunchtime, I'm going to turn off all notifications. Just
Exactly.
kind of get into that habit. You don't need them.
I agree with you 100%. How do we handle boredom? Because that's when a lot of the grabbing and intrusive thoughts show up.
Right. It's not just boredom, it's the fear of people thinking you're not connected. Like often we grab the phone when we're in. I see young people do this all the time, like out at a
Yeah.
bus stop or walking around. You know, it's this fear that people are going to think I'm in isolation, that I'm alone, if unless I'm engaged on my phone. You know, you have to
Yeah.
understand what your own motivation is for staying connected to this 10-pound bag of candy for a dog. Like, this is toxic. Your phone
Right.
is toxic. You
It
have to
is.
understand it really is, and you got to get a grip on it one way or another, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be personal for everybody, but once you recognize what it's doing to you and your family and the people around you, like, but we're all engaged in this like mass hypnosis around phones.
Yeah.
Just go outside and take a walk without your phone.
Exactly.
I wonder if you can do that. Have you tried that? Have you ever walked outside without your phone?
You know, I have. I've left my phone like in different parts of the house and just went about doing whatever. And I actually felt less stressed, you know, when I didn't have my phone around me. I felt more relaxed. I felt clear-headed, and it was a nice feeling, you know. And people would make comments to me like, "Oh, she never answers her text. Oh, you know, you'll never get a message from you'll never get an answer right away from Stacy." And you know, they would make fun of me, but a lot of times when I would put the phone aside and I didn't have to have it right by my hip, I felt better. And I kind of had the same analogy as you. It's like if it's important, they'll call me or they'll leave a message, you know. And so I left it as that. And a lot of people, you know, disagreed with, you know, what I was I you know I thought, but it did make me better, feel better when I didn't have the phone right by me all the time.
Honestly, Stacy, that's like peer pressure in high school. Come on, drink the beer. Like, it's a
Yeah.
cultural thing. As adults, we actually do. I know people get angry when because I'm on do not disturb all night from 9 to 5. I'm just not doing it. And
Yeah.
you know, they huff and puff or yeah, why don't you answer right away? Where did that all come from? This urgency
Yeah.
around really 90% of the time, it's frivolous conversation. You know,
Exactly.
that they're trying to get your attention. It's people trying to get to connect with you. Well, just
Yeah.
call. If somebody's hurt or sick, call me. If not,
Yeah.
it can wait. So you can do
Right.
the no phone zone. They're trying this in some schools now, right?
Yeah.
Because I was a teacher for a time, and whew, the phones are so addictive unless you force them to hang it up on the wall or put it away. And then you got to engage them in healthy things. The
Yeah.
distraction thing has to happen as well for us as well. Put
I
the phone
agree.
away, but don't allow that boredom to draw you right back to it.
Yeah.
Like, don't. It's not healthy for you. Distract it in some way. Get engaged in something else that doesn't involve a digital thing, like a human or a tree.
Yeah.
No, we have other things we can engage with besides our phones.
With my one of my son's jobs, he has to lock his phone up. They're not allowed to have the phone with them when they work. So he immediately, he doesn't have the phone, during his working hours
I
because they're
love
not
that.
allowed.
That's awesome. That's great. I wish more, honestly. I mean, you hate to have to do this for adults, right? I can see doing it for kids, but really, adults are out of control when it comes to the distraction level here. So
I
what your friends should be saying is good for you, Stacy, giving yourself a little peace and quiet. Like we should start doing that for each other.
agree.
Applauding these little, let's change the culture around that busyness, urgency thing,
100%. Yeah. What's your advice for evenings when we're tired and the willpower is low?
Around what, the phone thing or the intrusive thought thing or just in
Both.
general? Oh, but
Both.
I think if you're really, I get around 7 o'clock, I can't read anymore, so I tend to
Yeah.
start looking for other. So I would say, first of all, like maybe you need to go to bed and get some sleep, or
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, fine, when you're really tired, it doesn't, the phone or the computer are not the only options we have. You and I
Yeah.
think a lot of people are not reading books anymore, and there's
Yeah.
so many good things out there.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
maybe read a book, or read to your kid, or read to your spouse. Like, get
Yeah.
engaged in a different kind of activity. Or
Yeah.
again, go for a walk, get outside, go to the gym. Even in the
Yeah.
evening, some people like to do that. You just have a lot of options besides
Yes.
your phone or your computer. You should list them. I mean, that would be a nice little, activity, is to think about all the other things you can be doing. We think all we have is our phone and our laptop. Like, no,
Yeah.
that's not who we are. We're human beings, and we need
Exactly.
to, be together as humans.
100%. Now, how did you restart after a bad day without beating yourself up?
Oh, that's a good question. You mean like the next day after?
Yeah.
First of all, those two, I mean, for me, those two periods are very important, as you're falling asleep and as you're waking up. You're
Yeah.
in certain states, brain states, that are kind of fluid, like you're half in and half out. That's when
Yeah.
you want to really put some positive, loving thoughts as you go to sleep at night, and as you're waking up. Obviously, don't grab the phone, but as you're waking up, just kind of think, oh, I'm going to have peace today. I'm going to laugh today. This is going to be a beautiful, calm experience. I am lucky enough to be alive. Like, whatever it is that
Yeah.
motivates you into a state of peace, those first thoughts in the morning and the last thoughts at night. So if I've had a bad day, I've screamed at people, things aren't going my way, I lost a lot of money, whatever the heck it is, I'm not taking that into my sleep. Sleep
Yes.
is gold. We need to get it, and we need good sleep. So that's a time when you can literally just put the good thoughts back in your head. If we
Yeah.
can think bad, irritable, negative stuff, we can think good things too, right? The opposite's
Oh,
always true.
yeah. Now, Phyllis, listeners were promised five concrete actions. Would you share five things that they can do this week to practice leaving it?
Well, I want to give a little exercise. I mean, we did talk about like the physical things, like
Yes.
your five senses. To me, that would be the first thing. But I would like our listeners to try something really fun, because I'm talking about positive as opposed to negative. And I have this great exercise where we make a bucket list and then we make a fuck it list. Like, we make so. The bucket list is all the things, like the positive things you want in your life. So it
Yes.
doesn't necessarily have to be like, I want to work hard. It's not going to be, I want to work harder. It's going to be like, oh, I want to go back to Italy, or I want to laugh more, whatever your bucket list is. And the
Yeah.
more important list, though, is the fuck it list, like the stuff you're no longer going to abide. I'm not
Yeah.
doing that anymore, and I'm not listening to this. So I have my own personal bucket fuck it list, which I will put in the show. We'll put in the show notes so you can
Okay.
see what I have chosen to, and I did this around my birthday. Like every birthday, I'll make my bucket fuck it list. And the more, and I did this work actually in a presentation to breast cancer or cancer survivors, because I had cancer, and we talked about, the transformation you go through. And when you
Yeah.
have a serious illness, you create a fuck it list. Let me tell you. That
Yeah.
comes fast, because you're like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. That made me
Right.
sick. right? So
Yes.
that's a really fun exercise. And just remember when you're in the throes of the sticky, awful thought,
Yeah.
be kind to yourself. That's something that is really grabbing you hard. It doesn't need to. Do it out loud, say it out loud like you would to a puppy, because that puppy's going to get sick if you don't get that 10-pound bag of chocolate out of the way. And
Yeah.
use your five senses and move your body. And then put it on the fuck it list. You know, I'm not doing it anymore.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, tell everybody about your book and, you know, what it's about and where they can find it.
Oh, okay. How to Be a Good Dog, Learning to Sit, Stay, and Heal with an A is just a really short 200 pages, simple, funny book that takes you through this protocol. But it's packed with all these stories from my life where I screwed up royally. I have no problem talking about my screw ups. I think they're kind of funny and endearing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the point in life where I love myself enough to know I did the best I could, right? But you can
Right.
benefit by listening to what I did, and hopefully won't make those same mistakes. So, but it also has, you know, specific chapters on sit, stay, leave it, heal. And then the third part of the book is like, what happens when you transform this way? You take your well-trained puppy into the pack. What
Yeah.
happens? Into your family, all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, you grow into a peaceful, relaxed person. That's
Yeah.
going to have consequences, good and bad, in your family, your workplace, your neighborhood. But if everybody in the world had control of their minds, or even half the people in the world, we would not be in the pickle we're in. You know what I mean? So
Yes,
the
100%.
benefit is worldwide, but it starts easily with you. And so that's what the book's about. It's a 200 pages. Like, it's just a little thing. You can, instead of like looking at your phone, you can try reading the book. And howtobeagooddog.com, you can just go there and click one of the links that says buy the book. That's the
I
easiest
love
way.
that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, when people go on your website, is there any other things that you offer? Did you ever do any speaking events, or do you do anything like that, or you focus mainly on the book?
I'm focused on the book right now. I'm not there yet. And one of the things I'm trying to avoid is this impulse to monetize everything to the max. And
Yeah.
I just don't want to do it right now. I'm 69 years old. I'm done working hard. I'm just finished, right? The
Yeah.
corporate grind, education, law, healthcare. I've worked my ass off. So I am not yet there. I love speaking, obviously. I'm good at this.
Yeah.
It comes easy for me.
Yeah.
I have a page called Workshops and Events, but I haven't planned anything yet. So right now it's just the podcast and the book. That's all.
Love it.
Listening and reading. Good old-fashioned things to do.
I love it. This has been amazing, Phyllis. You are an amazing woman, and I love when I speak to you. I think what you're doing is great. I think, a lot of people need to really reset their mindset because I think we have, with electronics especially, we have gone off into tangents where we are so preoccupied with what the rest of the world is doing that we're forgetting about the most important person, which is ourselves. And I think people compare themselves sometimes too much to what everyone else is doing. And people don't realize what goes beyond. Everyone looks at the glorious part that everybody posts, but people don't realize that behind the stage, there's a lot of other things going on. And that what you see is not actually what really exists most of the time, 99.9% of the time. And the only way you're going to be happy is to make yourself happy to love yourself and to be who you were meant to be, not what other people want you to be or what the rest of the society is doing. And like you said, the most times that you do feel at peace is when you take these electronic, when you take these addictions and you put them aside and you really focus on the things that, are meaningful and that bring you joy. And the only way to find out what brings you joy is to try different things. Like you said, walking in nature and, maybe reading a book or, and if you don't want to read a book, maybe listening to an audio that inspires you. think of different ways that could be healthy to actually, really, incite your life into a different direction and bring, different things into your life that are meaningful. And the breathing work I love because, like, I am a big fan of breathing, and and it's just I do different exercises, and it just puts you in a whole different realm, and it clears your mind, makes you think clearly, makes you feel clearer, and it makes you, I just I come to realizations sometimes that I didn't even think about when I just take time to just like meditate and to, I do different types of breathing, and sometimes I use the chakra bowls, and the different vibes, that come off the chakra bowls, give me a sense of peace and serenity. And after doing those exercises, I feel more connected with myself. So whatever works for people, but I love your message. I love how you compare our mindsets with a dog's mindset. And it's so true. We are so, people don't realize it, but we are very similar to animals, and we are, people, and the animals are just almost exactly like humans in many aspects. And and I just love your book. I
Well,
read your book. I
thank
love your, and I love you. And I think you're doing a great job. And if anyone wants to learn more about Phyllis, you can visit howtobeagooddog.com, and we'll link it into the show notes. And if this has helped you, follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Stacey Chalemi Advisor, and share this with one person who is ready to drop the scroll and get their peace back. So I'm Stacey, and thank you so much for listening to the show. And Phyllis, I love you. You're the best, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Stacey.
All right, you have a great day.
You too.